May we pray? Eternal God, thou who art the author of the existence of both mankind and womankind, we come before you today admitting that and confessing that sometimes we feel like we're characters in search of an author, Lord. We feel sometimes that we wonder who we are, why we are characters within this stage of existence, but most of all, we ask where you are. Will you be present now as we act out our existence on this stage in the sets which you have helped us to construct and in the other characters whom you have placed here, the Lears of the world, the Colobans of the world, Vladimirs and Estragons of this world, Lord. Will you now be present? We await. Amen. We continue in worship now. You'll stand and take your hymn books and open page 498 to hymn number 498. We'll continue to worship with singing.
Let us read together our prayer of confession. O God, you call us to remembering. When community was offered, we couldn't respond. We were seeking prestige. We sought silence and found none, for we went carrying the noise within. Instead of peace came a loud mocking circus. We were trying to remain secure. Renew us by pardon, we pray. Paint a breeze on our canvas. Whirl us gently to face our own groan. Hear our cry this day in Christ our Redeemer. Amen. The word of God spoken as your assurance. For I am convinced that there is nothing in death or life, in the realm of spirits or superhuman powers, in the world as it is, or the world as it shall be, in the forces of the universe, in heights or depths, nothing in all creation that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Hear now the reading of the word. First, the word from the Old Testament. So it is written in Isaiah chapter 4, verses 2 through 6. In that day, the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. And the fruit of the land shall be the pride and glory of the survivors of Israel. And he who is left in Zion and remains in Jerusalem will be called holy, everyone who has been recorded for life in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and cleansed the bloodstains of Jerusalem from its midst by a spirit of judgment and by a spirit of burning, then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day, and a smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy and a pavilion. It will be for a shade by day from the heat, and for a refuge and a shelter from the storm and the rain. From the New Testament, the words written in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 31. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another counselor, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you desolate, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If a man loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I go away, and I will come to you. If you would have loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you will believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no power over me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go hence. May God add his blessings to these words.
Taproot of kindness is a profound reverence for life. Not long ago, I had a conversation with a young man whose father has been dead several years. In the conversation, he talked of his father. One thing he said to me came across hauntingly clear. I know my father loved me, he said, but he never knew how to show it. Later in the conversation, he talked about God. I've prayed and asked God to show me he is there, to show me his love, but nothing. As he talked, I began to understand that he has God mixed up with his father. The unfinished struggle to experience his father's love colors his attempts to understand God's love to him. I'm acquainted with a young woman who often uses phrases like, I love God, I want God. As I've gotten to know her, I realize she has God mixed up with her mother. Our relationships as people are not perfect. It's understandable that we would carry our imperfect expectations and ways of relating over to our desire to understand God's love to us. Jesus understood that we would do that. No greater reverence toward life ever existed than that in Christ. The men and women who were Jesus' followers are not pictured as understanding all about the love in that new commandment. Jesus understood the pain they had in store. Jesus understood what it would mean for them when the moments came for his ultimate self-giving. What it would be like were Jesus no more alongside of them as now. When God's way of relating intensified to the mode of the Spirit, when their expectations faced inescapable revision. Jesus spoke words of preparation, words of promise, words of kindness into that time. I am going away and I am coming back. Because I am alive, you too will live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Ginoskiste, a knowing that involves one's own participation. Participating, you will know that a reverence toward life moves like a taproot to the source of life itself. Participating, you will know kindness. One of the things I've always liked to do is shop at Kmart. I haven't been in a while, but it used to be that you could go to Kmart with just a little bit of money and come out with a whole armload of treasures. I've even complained at the company at Christmas because they don't have gift certificates. I think one of my dreams is to have a real shopping spree at Kmart. I remember early taking our son to shop there. He was about 4 years old. When we would go to shop, Monty would always ask to look at the toys. I want to go to the toy counter. Well, you go over to that toy counter a few times, but there came a point when we decided he could go to the toy section while we shopped. We will be shopping there, and you can look at the toys. Right away, the look on his face said, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. You could see the questions. If I go over here and you're over there, will we get back together? Will you be there? How far is it from here to there? What is in between? Will I get lost? A couple of times, one of us would walk with him to lend encouragement to him that we would be there, that he could get back to us when he wanted to. Even though the counters were high and blocked his view, we were there. He could find us. At first, he would walk to the toy section, and moments later, we would find him back at our side. Then he was gone again. Frequently checking, helping him gain confidence that we were there. He learned even the in-between moments were manageable. And as he grew older, he learned how to go directly to the toy counter or to the school supply counter and select the things he needed and some things he thought he needed and meet us at the checkout. We realized he had learned his lesson very well by that time. Some of those times shopping held special moments of life for him and for us. We found the lesson somewhat changed a few years later when we accompanied his youth group to Carowinds. Once inside, it was over 2.5 hours before he elected to touch base with us. In those moments, we saw that we were the ones relieved and not he. Any moment of awe toward life, toward living, can move us like a taproot to the source, the wellspring of life. Its fruit is kindness, kinship, and affinity in being. Even a little kindness reminds us that we are kin. The two words themselves derive from the same root, kindness and kin. When we experience kindness, we are drawing on a legacy that crosses the ages of existence. Kindness may come through a person whose presence is quiet and felt. It may come through a person whose presence is loud and appears as a threat. It may come in a face that lights up, recognizing you. Kindness may come in the dark of the night as the traffic light blinks, spraying orange in the room, and you see the color shimmer through tears of loneliness. God acts in great kindness toward us, kindness out of full love. In kindness, God gave love's message in assuring human fullness through Christ. When the time came for change in the expression of God's love, Jesus acted with a profound awe for life, a veritable reverence for life, not only toward those followers who would face the decisive historical change, but also toward us. Preparation, encouragement, and assurance are given and promised. The one having my commandments and keeping them, that one is the one loving me. If you love me, my commandments you will keep. Also, I will ask the Father, and another called alongside one, helper, he will give to you, in order that he may remain with you into the age. That one will teach you all things and will remind you of all that I have said to you. The helper, the called alongside one, is given. The helper teaches all things. The called alongside one reminds of Jesus' words. A helper is given to aid in guarding the faith, to aid in keeping the commandments of Christ, to aid in living love. At the end of the first chapter in his book, Women in Baptist Life, Leon Macbeth writes, "The way we are grows out of the way we were. What is takes shape out of what was." When I reread those lines recently, I thought about this message of Jesus. And I thought about the dogwoods in our yard. In September, those dogwoods wore lilty green foliage, bright red berries, and little gray pods. By mid-October, the foliage had ripened to crimson brilliance. The berries were still bright red, still distinct, but they had joined the foliage as a background. It was the little gray pods that began to stand out. Red berries grew where the blooms had been in spring, a symbol of the past, what was. Leaves, crimson turned from the summer's lilty green, the brilliance of the fall, what is. Pods firm and gray will survive the dormant days, a promised spring return, what will be. Trees find their way into people's hearts, and they come out as pictures on a canvas made with color, or as pictures on a paper made with words, or as pictures on our mind's eye made in sound or in silence. Each picture may somewhere say, trees mirror God's message to us. From the dogwood, the message seemed to swell in the glint and dance of the rich, warm afternoon sun. I was reminded of Jesus' words, I am going away and I am coming back to you. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it happens, you may be in faith. Even when God is absent, according to our expectations, God is present by surprise. I'm surprised each morning when I wake here. Perhaps I'm surprised it's day. I'm surprised by all the love I get, and I'm surprised when I think God's away. I'm surprised when it's a smile I need to share. I'm surprised when what I share is tears. I'm surprised by someone's needing love from me. I'm surprised when I need them. I'm surprised when the flowers rest, and again when they bloom. I'm surprised when too much is happening. I'm surprised when I feel there's nothing at all. I'm surprised when my work's done well. I'm surprised when I fail. I'm surprised when joy is mine and struggle's not. And I'm surprised when struggle is my lot. There is one called alongside us, the helper, given to strengthen. An encourager is given to guard our faith, to stimulate our memory, to move us to learning. God's absence is presence overall. It preserves, it renews, it moves out and into, away and back. It is light in darkness, joy in sorrow, freedom in bondage, comfort in pain. It is the surprise in the ordinary. It is assurance there is something more. God beyond all imagining. Alleluia. Amen. Would you stand with me? As you separate from these moments of worship together, go under God's Spirit, our help. May God's presence be your covering, your canopy. Remember, the help of the helper is in guarding of the message that is love. Live this love in fullness one with another. Hold full living in awe and care, passing encouragement among yourselves. By God's Spirit, encouragement is present to you. May this love be the message over all you do and all you are. In Christ, our risen Redeemer. Amen.